Thank you. Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. They went on from there and passed through Galilee, and Jesus did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." And they came to Capernaum, and when he was at their house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. He sat down and called the 12. He said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all, and servant of all." Took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to Christ. Now, having heard God's word, we join together in speaking the words of faith, confessing together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand. God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of the living. Congregation, may be seated, and at this time I'd like to invite our younger Christians to come forward for the children's time. Okay, that got better as we summer. Actually, I want to say great morning, not just good morning. Great morning. This is a great morning. Do you agree? Is there something disappointing? What's disappointing about today? We didn't get to go to the park for church, and I know that would have been a lot of fun, right? Some of you have been to church in the park here in Boise before. It's been really fun. But you know what? It can still be a great morning, even though we didn't get to go to the park. Because we are gathered together as God's people, and we get to hear all about our Lord and Savior Jesus. And after church, we get to have some really good food. I hope the Spirit will join us over there in the kitchen, even though we can't be in the park today. It's going to be great. It already is great. And I want to talk to you a little bit more about that. Some of you are up here, so many of you are singing about different animals. What was the greatest animal you spent on today? Anybody have an opinion on that? Which was the greatest animal you spent on today? Humans. Because other end. What do you think is the greatest thing in the world? A cheetah. Was there a cheetah in that song? What makes something great? That's the question. Is it how much you like that thing? Is it how powerful it is? What if we didn't even talk about animals? What if we said, like, helps? What's the greatest help? That's the law that doesn't have a favorite thing. You can't. But what's the greatest help? Kids. What's the greatest flavor of ice cream? Tell us the greatest flavor of ice cream. Chocolate? Okay. Does everybody think that chocolate's the greatest? Not everybody, right? We all have different opinions. Who's like a fan of vanilla? Cookies and cream? And chocolate chip? So, that's the question. What's the greatest? What does greatness mean? I wanted to show you something I brought to me today. This is a hat that I wear. It's got what? What does that look like? A bee, maybe? Well, I'll show you that. But what's this? What does that look like? It's a bat eating a bat. Yeah. So where I grew up, in a faraway land called Connecticut, there is a minor league baseball team. I don't know if you guys all know what that means, but it's kind of like before these players are good enough to play in the major leagues, they start in the minor leagues. There's all these crazy teams in the minor leagues. The Colorado Rockies have a minor league baseball team in Connecticut called the Hartford Yardbirds. That's the business. It's a goat eating a baseball bat. And they have a mascot. This is Choo Choo the goat. Now, he's named Choo Choo because I guess a yard goat is slang for either railroad or goat. Yard goats help move train cars from one track to the next. And the Hartford Yard Goats play really close to, like, where there's a train depot in Hartford, Connecticut, so they're called the Yard Goats. But she's called Choo Choo, spelled C-H-E-W, because not only does it sound like a train, Choo Choo, but goats show things, right? Like that. And there's chops, there's another called Thomas, too, but I just have Choo Choo up here. So, are the Yard Goats the greatest baseball team ever? Have you even heard of the Yard Goats before? Unless you're in my family. Okay. Probably not. I'm guessing the Colorado Rockies minor league team is not the best baseball team, the greatest baseball team. Right? But did you know that sometimes people use the word goat to mean the greatest? Have you ever heard that before? What is the goat? What's the goat? What if someone calls you the goat? What does the goat mean? Do you know any? The greatest of all time. G-O-A-T. Goat. The greatest of all time. So you said something about it. Simone Biles is the greatest of all time. Okay. There are lots of athletes that might be called the GOAT. Probably not minor leaguers in the Colorado Rockies, the Yard Goats. But there are athletes that somebody might call the GOAT. It means the greatest of all time. If you wanted to be the greatest of all time baseball player, what are some things you'd have to be really good at? Okay. Hitting home runs, probably would be a good thing. letting you out of here at the end. Okay, all right, so you consider him the goat. All right, okay, that's good. What else can you do that? Catching the ball, right? What else? Right, catching pop flies. So, okay. You know, the team of Tony's getting these pitchers for a long time. All right, so, what if you wanted to be the goat? Greatest of all time, disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. What are some things that you think you have to be good? What? Okay, Jesus is perfect, I said. But if someone's going to try to be the goat as a follower, spreading gospel, right? Talking about the hope that we have in Jesus, and all about God's love, right? So spreading that out to the world of the Bible, what else? Listening to the pain, right? That's an important thing. Praying, right? Being really good at praying. What else? Not being shy, saying, okay, that's what it goes on. What's the one you said today? We like to think that being the greatest of all time disciple would require us to do all of those things and more. It's kind of like what Wesley said. The only person who has ever done everything perfect is Jesus himself. You and I, no matter how much we might try to be the goats as we follow Jesus, we can never do all of those things perfect. You know what? Jesus and his disciples, in today's Bible reading that we just heard, they had a conversation about what it means for you to be great. And you know what Jesus said? He didn't say you had to be the best at praying and spreading God's word, not being shy, all of those things. Jesus actually took a small child, a little boy, and said, think to be like this child. What can a little baby toddler boy do? Not much. In order to be the greatest of all time, not much. But you know what? Jesus comes to us, even though there's not much we can do on our own. He comes to us and he makes great. By the power of his word, the good news of the gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit working within us, the faith that he gives to us as a gift, he makes us great, even though we're not great all by ourselves. Jesus is the one who is the greatest of all time, and he humbled himself, came down to earth, allowed himself to be killed on a cross for you and me. That's how much. You know what? He rose again, and he ascended to heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he really has shown that he is the greatest of all time. Jesus is the greatest. Jesus is not the greatest, but he is the greatest of all time. And so it's because of him that we have hope. We don't put our hope in ourselves. We are just like that little boy, Jesus is so like. Can't offer much of our own, but Jesus takes us and makes us great by the power of his word. I think we have a lot to be thankful for, so let's pray. We're to hold our hands to our heads. He has proved to us. Dear Jesus, you are the greatest of all time. Praise your name. Send us your Holy Spirit. Make us great by the power of your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys so much. You bet. They had just seen absolute greatness before their eyes. the nine disciples, they were struggling. They were not able to cast the demon out of that young boy. That was the circumstances last day. They were kind of knocked down a peg on the grading scale, and you can kind of imagine that there probably was a little bit of tension between Peter, James, and John, who got to see what nobody else got to see, and the other nine, who was supposed to be feeling so great. And then, with all of that swirling around in their heads, Jesus has this very interesting thing to say to them, where he tells them that the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. That doesn't sound great at all. At least not in any kind of earthly sense. They don't really know what to make of this. It's clear that Jesus' definition of greatness and the disciples' definition of greatness are not quite lined up with one another. How about your definition of greatness? How about Google's definition of greatness? When you Google greatness, Google's online dictionary just says that greatness is the quality of being great. Not really, that doesn't really help. But there are some synonyms that are listed for greatness. Importance, fame, power, success. That's what Google considers to be greatness. There's nothing wrong with that per se. The problem with all four of those terms is that they are inherently subject to things that you think are important, not necessarily the things that your neighbor finds important. You might look at somebody and say, boy, they are the picture of success. And another person could look at that same individual and say, that person is a failure. We just look no further than into our current discourse in our presidential elections to see what I'm talking about. Greatness is clearly in the eye of the beholder. That's why there are no shortage of opportunities for us to do what Josiah is doing, is if we can get away to convert them. There's no shortage of opportunities to argue about greatness. And we do this with all sorts of things. A lot of them don't even matter. We argue about the greatness of musicians and athletes and politicians and favorite foods. Greatness. What is greatness? What is greatness? Along those lines, I don't know if any of you have noticed this before. In the last few years, there's been this trend where people try to measure greatness by saying, who's on your Mount Rushmore? Which is obviously referring to the famous monument in western South Dakota, commissioned back in the 1930s, 1940s, to give the world a way to see and celebrate the greatness that is the United States of America. And doing so by using dynamite to carve, carving, but it's actually really amazing how that's all done, to carve the faces of our four greatest presidents into the side of a mountain. At least the four greatest presidents up to that time. And by the way, do you all remember who the four presidents are on Mount Rushmore? Don't look it up! Don't look it up! Who are they? Shout out! Lincoln, Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Teddy Roosevelt, Robot West guy. Good. Good. Yeah. So, Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and Teddy Roosevelt. And I don't know, I mean, I tried to do a little bit of research on Mount Rushmore this week. I don't know if there were any active arguments or debates at the time about who the four presidents should be that are included in Mount Rushmore, but I can see where there could be some conversation about which four belong on the side of the mountain, if any belong on the side of the mountain, right? So maybe you had somebody who really wanted to make a case for John Adams, or maybe for Ulysses S. Grant. Maybe there was somebody who, for whatever reason, was a huge Rutherford B. Hayes fan and they wanted him on the side of the mountain. But these four were the ones that were ultimately chosen because Washington, of course, is the first president. He's the Revolutionary War guy, right? Thomas Jefferson is the Louisiana Purchase guy. And Abraham Lincoln is the Civil War guy who ends slavery. And there's Teddy Roosevelt, who's kind of like the turn of the 20th century economic development in America. These are the guys. Their greatness, in other words, was based on their accomplishments, based on their personal contributions to this country. And what it comes down to is the greatness of Mount Rushmore is in line with what the world, what Google and others consider to be greatness. So now, all these years later, people say, well, what's on your Mount Rushmore? Who's on your Mount Rushmore? And you're figuring out the top four of anything. Like, who's on your Mount Rushmore of country music artists? Who's on your Mount Rushmore of NFL quarterbacks? I even see a Mount Rushmore of breakfast cereals. I've seen that there's a Mount Rushmore of Taco Bell menu items, which, by the way, the grilled cheese burrito. That's basically what the argument was about. Who belongs on the Mount Rushmore of discipleship? Who's on the Mount Rushmore of followers of Jesus? And we can tell from this text that at the time, as they were arguing amongst themselves about this question, they were thinking about greatness the way that the world thinks about greatness. Who has done the most impressive things for Jesus in order to make it to that top tier of greatness? Whose personal piety and loyalty to Christ will get their faces carved into His holy mountain? What mighty works will separate the Abraham Lincolns from the Miller Fillmores of the world? But it was a pointless and fruitless conversation, and they knew this. Their consciences told them these things, which is why, when Jesus asks them point blank what they were discussing as they were on the road together, Mark tells us in verse 34 that they remained silent. That, right there, leads us to the conclusion that they were probably a little too embarrassed to admit that they had been jockeying for position. They knew deep down that it was sinful pride that was leading to that conversation, and it wasn't holiness and righteousness and saintliness. Unfortunately, we know a thing or two about that as well. We might not find ourselves literally arguing out loud amongst ourselves as to who the greatest follower of Jesus in this group is, but it doesn't mean that we don't try to. In some less direct and more subtle ways. How often do we find ourselves comparing our lives to others and almost rooting for things to not always go their way? Because then that way, if you compare our lives to theirs, you can stay able to root for the greatest. How often we, as members of Trinity, find ourselves thinking about what others in our heads how much somebody else might be putting in your offering plate, paying attention to how often they show up to church or to different events, how often they might help with things around here, and then we do that, and then we come to the conclusion that our contributions are greater than theirs, but that makes us feel really great. It's actually an amazing thing that the Holy Spirit takes four miserable sinners like us, transforms us only by the gift of faith, making us holy. That's what motivates us to do the good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. But it's precisely because we are poor, miserable sinners living in this broken world that even when we are striving to live the way that God calls us to live and to do the things that God calls us to do, it often has that side effect of puffing us up. maybe just look down in judgment on others. Do we not as must not love the Lord as much as we do? Besides, God is this advantage that it keeps us at us pointing to the ship. We probably would not have said something in the two of the disciples that we wouldn't have much to say in the future. Stay there in time. Also notice in this text that Jesus didn't leave his disciples in that shame of silence. That's not how Jesus handled it. Instead, he demonstrates this very simple way what true greatness really looks like when he picks up this child's little boy who's nearby. It sounds like he was a child young enough to be picked up and carried in Jesus' arms. And he uses this kid as sort of you want to know who belongs about much more of my disciples, my followers? It's not going to be necessarily who you expect. It's not going to be the one who is the most well-liked, the kindest, the most generous, the one who dedicates all of their spare time to the food pantry or helping the homeless. It's not necessarily going to be people like the pastor, the elders, the people who sit on all the ministry boards, and people who go to all the meetings every month. It's not necessarily going to be the musicians, the athletes, the trustees, the school teachers, the students in the morning. It's the greatest when someone buys it. So 2 million tourists every year are going to continue to flock to Mount Rushmore and celebrate the faces of these presidents who have been great in some current sense, but who are now long gone. We give thanks that by God's grace there are many more than over 2 billion Christians who get to flock to a different country. To gaze upon the face of the Son of Man, to gaze upon the cross of Jesus Christ, because the cross is where Jesus has demonstrated what true greatness is. That's the answer to the question. What does greatness look like? And someday, when Christ shouts it at a convention, someday the whole world is going to acknowledge what we are in our blessing. How great thou art. Someday every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess, Jesus is Lord. And that is going to be really great. And God prays for Jesus. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in your faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Today, Amy Caffer absolutely having a procedure done in her neck area this coming Thursday as she continues to fight cancer. I'm not listed in your bulletin today, but you'll be praying for Elizabeth Wilson, who is the mother of Sherry Nearman. Elizabeth's health is beginning to fail. She's about 93 years old. Also not listed in your bulletin today, we'll be in prayer the family of Kathy Denver. That is the great aunt of Kirsten Nelson, who passed away suddenly. We give thanks and praise to God today for the birth of Billy Grace Annenberger, the newborn daughter of Kylie Mackenzie Annenberger. Billy was born on Friday morning. We love Billy here in the room. Let's stand and explore our way. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you have taken us from all nations and united us in the body of your Son. Send your Holy Spirit to rid your children of all bitter jealousy, boasting, and selfish ambition. Fill the baptized with your wisdom that we may lead peaceful lives with sincerity and love. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord of hosts, give our sinners, leaders, and all pastors the wisdom that comes down from above, that they may be peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Let them sow among us in peace and grant a harvest of righteousness. Even all of our partners in mission and ministry today, we especially lift before you the people at St. John the Great in Uganda and their pastor, Tim Miller. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the rain today, that even though our earthly plans have changed, you have once again shown us your mercy and grace and your heavenly provision. We continue to ask for favorable weather, that you protect all those who are working outdoors in the fields and elsewhere. We also rejoice today with those who are celebrating birthdays, including Sadie, Declan, Chad, Carol, Kelly, Bennett, Ellie, Denise, and Dwight. We especially praise your name today for the birth of Billy Grace Annenberger, and we ask you to watch over her and bless her and her family. We also look forward to the day when she is brought to the waters of holy baptism. Lord, we also give you thanks for our Christian marriage. Bless all who are celebrating anniversaries, including mine and Linda York. Help them to look to you for all who. Lord, in your mercy. Uphold this world in your order, give health and wisdom to all who serve in public office, their authority may be exercised for the benefit of our people. Protect and guide all who serve in the armed forces of this government, including Michael, Dan, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Patty, Austin, Ward, Joyce, Janet, Shaylee, and Mark. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, in your loving kindness, you do not abandon your children to suffer alone, but promise to care for all who call upon your name. Bless the homebound, the lonely, the depressed, the anxious, those preparing for surgery, the ill, and the dying, and especially those who desire our prayer to honor your prayer list, those who are in care facilities, Dorothy, Greta, Eula, Jim, Charles, John, before your family, and also anxious to face your upcoming surgery this week. And those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Eunice, Jim, Mark, Tyson, Ron, Francie, Brett, Linda, Jeff, Wayne, Roland, Vance, Butch, Delaney, Laverne, Samantha, Elizabeth, and all those who are facing cancer. Comfort them in their distress. Heal all their needs of body and soul, and grant them your peace. We also ask you to bring peace to those who mourn, especially the family and friends of Kathy and Christian. Remind them that you are the Lord of life, as we all await the resurrection of the life to live. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Lord. Lord, bless you and keep you. Lord, may his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Lord, look upon you with his favor and bring you to you with his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Closing again today is the Son of God, eternal Savior. Church of the Heart celebration continues in another alternate location, but we are still sitting in our pop-up picnic. I hope you're hungry. We've got a lot of food materials there, and thank you to those of you who also brought things to share. So as soon as we're done here, we're going to head over to the activity center and enjoy some more fellowship time together. So I hope you can join us. A couple of things happening this week. Finance Board is meeting tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock for the conference room. And you can see the schedule for upcoming flyers and things like that. We do still need some secret angels for our confidants. If you're interested in blessing one of our confidants instead of studying God's Word and like your small casket, it would be wonderful to have that connection with all our students. Just let you know if you're interested in that. Next Sunday, there is going to be a youth event, but I wanted to also mention in advance next week is when we're going to have our meeting for those who are interested in attending the next youth gathering, which is going to be held at our New Orleans Museum next summer. And so it's going to be an informational meeting at 5:15 over in the gym prior to the regular youth meeting, which begins at 6 o'clock. And so there we're going to talk about all the things social ministry fund change. If you're not aware of this, this is a fund that the elders have here at Trinity, which is used usually to help those who in the community have some social needs. If there are people who need help with utility bills or things like that, we have a fund established for them. Many of you know that for the last few months, any contributions that we made to that fund were used to help support Francis Kennedy's legacy, continues to fight against cancer, and those donations have been greatly appreciated. We just want to let you all know that at this time we are planning to, October 1st, switch back to normal for that fund. So that means any donations to that fund for the rest of September would go to Francis. And then after October 1st, those funds that are given to that account will be used for other general needs in the community once again. So just want to make sure that everybody was aware of that change coming up in the month of October. Any other announcements today? Yes, Tim. Okay. Krispy Kreme donut fundraiser at Christ Our Rock. Any dates? This is going on now. So the forms are due on Tuesday. Tim's got forms in the office if you want some Krispy Kreme. So thank you. Anything else? Let me go ahead and offer a table prayer so that when we head over to the gym, you can go ahead and eat right away. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for giving us this opportunity to worship you, to spend some time together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for this meal that you have prepared for us. We ask that you bless this food, give us the energy that we need to go out into the world and do the work that you've called us to do. We pray that you bless the conversations that we have as we eat, and that you bless the hands of those who prepared for us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. We pray our common table prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let thy gifts to us be blessed. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for church today. Have a blessed week.